Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Space, the final frontier.
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds.
Enterprise.
This is Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Captain Janeway.
Captain Cisco.
Red alert.
Photon torpedoes, fire.
The official Star Trek podcast.
Engage.
Make it so.
With your host, Jordan Hoffman.
That, sir, is illogical.
And make sure history never forgets.
This is Engage.
Hailing frequencies open, sir.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so it's now end of day three. I'm zonked. I'm seeing double. I'm seeing triple. End of day three at the Las Vegas Star Trek convention at the Rio Hotel. And tonight's recap is going to be real fun. We brought him in from far across the seas, from the Beta Quadrant. No, from jolly old Blighty from Great Britain. We have Sam.
Hi.
Sam, do you have a last name, Sam?
I do have a surname, yes. It's Dara.
Sam Dara. Oh, I knew that, actually.
It's Klingon, yeah.
Yeah, with a silent GH.
Say Dara.
And Sam Dara. And Carol with an E. And Carol, you have a last name also,
I
right?
Do. It's Mousen.
Say again?
Mousen.
Mousen?
Yes, the one.
Like, hey, I'm just mousing around here.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what are you guys doing? Eating cheese and scurrying into holes?
Ew.
I'm mousing around. All right, not spelled like mousing.
No.
Mousen,
okay.
Like with an L.
And Carol and Sam represent themselves on the internet as the Trekkie Girls.
That's right, yes.
So we figured these would be great people to talk to and ask them about their day. So first of all, is this your first time in Vegas for the convention?
No. Actually, I've been here in 2008. Back then it was in the Hilton.
Right, I remember
back in
that.
The good old days of the Star Trek experience.
What do you think about the Hilton versus the Rio? Let's be honest.
Okay, let's be honest. Obviously, Rio's a nicer hotel.
Yes.
It's a shame we didn't have the Star Trek experience. That was really something.
Yeah.
Quarks.
Yeah, for people that are listening, there used to be a really great, in the halcyon days of the late 90s, early 2000s, there was an exhibit at the old Hilton Hotel that was, it was like Star Trek land. It was great. It was, they had those 4D games with the Borg, and they had cool props and everything. It's like these traveling exhibits that are now currently in Ottawa and Blackpool, England, and at the Intrepid in New York. It was all that great stuff, but it also had a great bar and people in character. But putting that aside, though, do you think the Rio is a step up on the Hilton?
Yeah.
Hilton was a bit of a dump, right?
the Hilton was a dump, yes. Yeah. And I mean the Rio's it's doing the job. Probably would be my first choice of hotel to stay in Las Vegas, but it does.
You know what's interesting? When you take the elevator up, if there's two big towers in the Rio, one is called the Ipanema Tower and one is called the
Masquerade
Tower, which is where I'm staying. And when you get off the elevator, it smells like fried chicken everywhere. It's a little bit disgusting. Carol, do you agree? Is it there's a little bit of a stink in the Rio?
There is a little bit.
It's kind of like money, poker chips, cigarette, booze, and strippers.
How is it in London? But do you live in London, or do you live... No. I just assume every British person lives in London.
We live about an hour and a half south of London.
South. So give me the name of the town.
Portsmouth.
Portsmouth. I've heard of that. Yeah, like famous ships left from there.
Absolutely.
Wait, Captain Cook left from Portsmouth, right?
The HMS Victory, which was featured in Geordie's engineering, which he was building, lives in Portsmouth.
No joke.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
That's our one Star Trek fact we can relate to our hometown.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so in Portsmouth, are you allowed to smoke in pubs?
Nope.
No.
Yeah, that because you can't in New York, where I live, and you can't live in Los Angeles, and... I sometimes forget that there are other cities in America other than New York and Los Angeles. I'm bad that way. I don't know what the deal is in like Texas or Chicago, but here in Vegas, you can puff away indoors and it's repulsive.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible. And you can't leave because it's so friggin' hot out. It's 118 degrees in August. So you say, I'm going to get a breath of fresh air. Like, no, you're not. It's an oven out there. It's gross.
People are smoking out there still. What's
going on? You open the door. You can't win.
They're still smoking.
It's horrible. It's a horrible, horrible place. We should all never come to Las Vegas again. Okay, but you came here today. Carol, what was the thing that was most exciting that you saw today, day three?
I think it was the TNG panel where Brett Spiner, LeVar Burton, Gates McFadden up on stage, just the banter going on between them. It's always so much fun. It just, yeah, it gets me every time.
These people clearly like each other's company, right?
Exactly. They play off each other so well, and they tell great stories, and they always have, yeah, so much fun.
Is TNG your favorite?
Definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you grow up on that? Or you're very young, Carol, if you don't mind my saying. I mean, where you were too young to watch it originally, right?
No, I watched it when it was on.
Okay, but you were a wee lass, right?
No.
Wee-ish.
Wee-ish.
Yeah.
Wee-ish.
Okay, but fair enough.
I'm loving just all the compliments here.
How old do you think we are?
I check out of this conversation. I don't know anything.
But I was born and raised in Star Trek, so I watched it from, earliest age.
I know that Star Trek is big in England, and it was big in Germany. Was it a big deal in the UK? I mean, was it weird to be into Star Trek, or was it kind of common?
I would say it was pretty weird.
back in the day.
Back in the day.
Back in the 90s, Carol and I were at school together. We were at secondary school. And that's how we met over our mutual geekdom. And basically, it was safety in numbers, wasn't it? We hung around each other to...
Safety in the number of two.
We stood more of a chance with our Star Trek fandom.
Yeah. Awesome. And so what was, Sam, what was the big highlight for you today?
For me, now this is going to sound really shallow, but I'm really enjoying what Mac are doing in the vendors room.
You were not the first to say that. We had a number of other women. Last night's recap episode was with a fellow podcast called The Women at Warp, four young women one from Canada and three from all over the U.S. And they were, and at the end, I'm like, what'd you folks think about the Mac exhibit? And they're like, rawr, rawr, rawr. It was a big deal. So what was it that dragged you into it?
Well, first of all, it's a shallow, superficial thing of, needing makeup and seeing Star Trek on it.
Shallow and superficial. You don't have to put it down like that.
I found actually when it went deeper than that, we were talking to Ben, who worked on the stand, and he was telling us about the philosophy of Mac, which we'd already had an understanding of, about it being for all people of all ages, races, and gender. And actually, the detail that had gone into this set is out of this world. Yeah. It's shaped like a bridge. It has a 10 forward section. It has transporter section. And they were saying that the event manager for MAC Cosmetics used to work at Disney. And he was meticulous with detail and spent a lot of time in the CBS archives detailing everything. And our favorite fact was that the tables in 10 forward are actually from 10 forward from Star Trek.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was leaning against it earlier like a joker, and now I was leaning against it.
Now you want to go back and pinch them.
I know, yeah. Wow, that's really cool. So, it's funny because they have the panels that you were talking about, and then you have like the special exhibits. There's also a lot of great photo ops. Like right outside the door where we are right now is the Guardian of Forever, where people are taking pictures all day. But the thing that I find that gets me about coming to these is just kind of just walking around the hallway and just talking to people. And oftentimes it's a costume that inspires the conversation. But sometimes like this is going to sound really strange. But I just have a really good time hanging out in the line for the bathroom because you're standing there. But unlike any other public restroom where you don't know anyone here, you don't know anybody you're online with. But everybody's here for the same reason. And having a good time and on vacation and ready to crack a joke. I don't know what it's like in the ladies' room, but I'm assuming. But do you see what I'm saying? Like, it's just like walking up, like the big cell is just everybody else. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Yeah. It's like a big family reunion, and it's almost like this convention or Star Trek Las Vegas has created its own community that goes far beyond the Rio in a way.
Yeah.
I've met people here I met in 2008, and then we become friends online, and then you see each other, and it's like no time transpired between now and 8 years ago.
So the community of Trek is just amazing. Like you say, you can just stop anyone in the corridor and just spark up a conversation, and it's just, and then party with them later.
Right. So tell me a little bit about what you folks do as the Trekkie Girls. What is your online presence about? I know you tweet. Sam, you're the one behind the official Trekkie Girls Twitter handle, or is
we,
both
we
of
both,
you?
We both manage the Twitter and okay. Facebook, and so Carol does our Instagram.
Oh.
And we've got a website. We have a YouTube channel. And it's very unorganized. We could not commit to a podcast.
What's on your YouTube channel, though?
It's embarrassing. We don't ever look. We upload.
Never watch the first episode. We're just saying.
That's what I'm going to do.
Well, it started where we would go down the pub and ramble about Star Trek. And one day we thought, well, you know what? We should just share this ramblings with the world, simply for our own amusement, so we can keep it for. You know, in case we ever need it. Like, oh, that was funny what we said. Let's keep that. It kind of snowballed from that. And then we go to Star Trek conventions like this. And we thought, you know what, we should talk about it from a fan perspective. And that's very much what we do. We're very much from the fan perspective. We fangirl. Carol fangirled in front of Benedict Cumberbatch. We somehow... oh, gosh.
Where was this?
This was at a
Star Trek Into Darkness press screening of the first 9 minutes.
Somehow, someone.
They did a roadshow of that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So this was in Britain somewhere.
In London. No, this was at the BFI. The
you had to get on the M14 or whatever it is that you're driving.
We had to get the
M25. Excuse me.
And someone at Paramount made a big mistake and let us in. And the next thing you know, we just ran up to Benedict Cumberbatch and said, "Could we interview you for our media outlet?"
And what did he say?
And he said yes, straight after Sky News. So we had an iPad. Yeah. And that was it.
Yeah. We roped in some poor stranger who just happened to be there.
Yeah.
Had to get back to his normal job.
Yeah.
Phone work. Said, I'm staying to film us.
That's fantastic.
So we filmed it and Carol was really loving it.
I love him.
You didn't hold it together, you started sobbing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fangirl. It was literally brilliant.
The moment where the camera just pans. Because, he just like, it's too embarrassing. I'm just going to pan over here.
Carol, there is a handsome young man that you came in the building with right here. What does Benedict Cumberbatch have that this guy doesn't have? Come on.
Superhero blood.
That's what it is.
It's just the
coat. That's all it was with the coat. Everything else. So Carol's favorite was TNG. What about you, Sam?
I'm also a TNG girl.
Okay, what is your favorite TNG episode?
Oh gosh.
Just reacting.
I'm just going to react. I'm going to say Yesterday's Enterprise. Oh, yeah. that was good. Are you a therapist?
No.
That was good.
Carol, what's your favorite TNG episode?
All Good Things.
Ooh. Oh.
Yeah,
double.
I love it.
Yeah, it's really good. It really, and you both picked in my top five, to be sure. I mean, there are a few, Yesterday's Enterprise. See, the problem with saying Yesterday's Enterprise is my favorite, because they're both sort of out of the ordinary episodes, right? Yesterday's Enterprise is basically a mirror universe episode.
Yeah.
And, but it does have some great Whoopi Goldberg in it, though.
Absolutely.
That might be her best episode in a way, because she just says, everything all right in here? And is everything okay? She's like, I'm just checking on you. Guinan calls the bridge. Did you see Whoopi yesterday?
Yes.
What did you think of that?
Amazing. So much energy and enthusiasm. Yeah. She should always come to conventions.
Yeah.
She's
so much love. Yeah. It's just amazing.
Well, what's interesting is that she, she opted in. She was at the height of her game, and she decided she wanted to become a Star Trek actor and made it happen, so... But did you see Kirstie Alley today?
We didn't actually, no. We decided to get some food. We hadn't ate since we landed.
Right, no, that's you have to do that sometimes. So you had lunch instead of, what did you have for lunch? It wasn't even that memorable. You missed her. Because it was her first appearance at a convention also.
Very bad.
Well, I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
When you're at a fainting point.
It's like, I'm going to pass out or I'm going to see this woman talk about. But she was very funny. She said... Wrath of Khan was like her first gig ever. And it was actually very sad. I had no idea about this, but just when she got the gig and they're about to start filming, her parents were in a terrible car accident. And her mother passed away, and her father was in severe, whatever it is, rehabilitation. And she said, I can't go now. Like, she thought that she lost the gig because she was a nobody. And she told Nick Myers, like, I'm going to be late. Like, I have to be with my father now. This terrible thing happened. And if you need to replace me, I understand. And he's like, no, we'll work around it.
Wow.
And, you know, and she's terrific in the movie. And then she talked about how the Paramount kind of screwed her out of the third one. It wasn't that she didn't want to do it. It was, according to her, the deal was, hey, we're going to put, you know, the third movie's coming up. Your role's even bigger this time, but we're offering you less money. And she said, oh, that doesn't really work out for me. Can we discuss that? And then next thing you know, Robin Curtis has the job.
Mm-hmm.
So, but she also did say that at that time in her life, she was doing an awful lot of drinking. So it could be that they didn't want to hire her.
Might be another story.
And they were hoping. She was very upfront about that. It was a great panel. So, you know, we'll leave it to the historians to peck it out. But she did give both sides there a little bit. So for tomorrow, Big Saturday, are you going to be joining the costume contest by any chance?
We're not. No. Mm. Simply because the costumes here are just so amazing. They're on another level.
Yeah.
And, you know, back home, you know, we think we make an effort. But here it's like, feel underdressed in just a TOS scant.
Right.
We love just the people watch at the costume competitions because they're so amazing. And just, yeah, the background behind them, they made them. Yeah, it's always fascinating to hear that side.
Costume contest is the most fun thing at the convention for me. It really is. I have a great time. Well, listen, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but just TrekkieGirls.com is where one goes.
TrekkieGirls.com, at TrekkieGirls on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram.
Fantastic. And it's still relatively early. We've been doing most of these recaps later in the night, but today it's only 7:15. What are your plans for the evening? Where are you going to be holding shop? Where is it going to be? Quark's Bar?
We're going to do Quark's. We're going to do Masquerades. We're going to do the Voodoo Lounge.
The Voodoo Lounge.
Yeah,
oh. Do you need a special key to get into the Voodoo Lounge? I don't even know where that's the one on the top of the...
We're going to beam in, you know, in the corner and dress up like the waiter.
You know, if I may talk about my recollections for the day, I did the One Trek Mind Live panel and we did the worst episodes ever. We counted those down. So what's your least episode in all of Star Trek Dome?
Oh, Shades of Grey.
Yeah, that's up there.
Did that win?
It didn't win, but it's in the top 10. And by win, I mean lose.
Yeah.
And there is an argument to be made about how it should be worse because it's just so lazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's an affront to Star Trek, you know? What about you? Do you agree?
Code of Honor. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I just have to put that.
No, Code of Honor was that came in second. But for a while, it was first, and then somebody came in with an argument, and it was reversed.
Ooh.
We switched it out. Would you like to know what the top 10
were?
Please,
please.
I am going to have to consult my computer here for a moment, if you'll just...
Let me try and think.
Please, talk amongst yourselves for a minute while I get this. Do a little thing, because I forgot it. It was on Twitter, so... But just please, just one moment here.
We could talk about...
You don't have to talk anymore. I found it.
Okay.
Phew.
Okay. Number 10. The 10 worst episode in all, and this is every franchise, including the animated, if it wanted to be.
Come on.
Yeah, what's yours?
Is it the Enterprise one where they find out that,
Trip Tucker's pregnant?
No, not Trip. Malcolm Reed's favorite cake is pineapple. That's got to be in there.
No, it's not. But there is, number 10 is an Enterprise, and it's called Precious Cargo. This is one with Padma Lakshmi. And not only was it really bad and boring, it was a waste of Padma Lakshmi. So that's why that came in at number 10. Number 9, and I'm on the fence about this, if it should be in there. I think it should be more like number 14 or 15, Alternate Factor from original series, first season. It's just so dull.
Yes.
It's just so boring.
Yeah.
As I like to say, if you ever run out of Ambien or any other kind of sleep aid in the house, you can always just find watch Alternative Factor on DVD. Number 8, I hate this episode, is Move Along Home by Deep Space Nine.
God.
Oh,
God.
Yeah, it's awful.
That's so I'm going to get in my head now.
Al Moraine. Number 7 is And the Children Shall Lead from original series.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really, really bad. Number 6, I actually find this one to be kind of amusing. See, I was when on the panel, I said, listen, it can't be bad and also funny. It has to be bad and dull. And I think this one is almost funny. It's Sub Rosa from Next.
We've debated Sub Rosa, haven't we?
Yeah, because then someone's like, it's not Star Trek. It's an episode of Guiding Light. It's just a soap opera.
I quite like it.
Yeah. And they're on the Emerald Isle, and it's nice. There's space Irish up there. You know, it's... yeah, see, I am kind of with you. I think Stavros...
I think it's kind of cool.
Carol, you agree? Stavros?
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
All right, number five was Shades of Grey. Yeah. We've established that it stinks. Number four is Turnabout Intruder, which is it's bad because it's sexist. You know, women can't be captain.
Oh,
and
yes.
It's bad... It's an original series. It's bad because it's the last... original series episode, and it's not a way
it's
to go out. It's a wet fart of a send-off. It really is, if I may speak bluntly. Number three is Voyager Threshold.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I know, yeah.
And number two is Code of Honor, which is, it is racist.
It's racist.
It's not, there's no two ways about it. It is perpetuating bad stereotypes and not in any kind of clever sort of... It's just dumb. It's just a disgrace. But number one, and for a while that was number one. For a while, Threshold was number one. And then somebody said, look, Threshold is merely awful, but it's not offensive.
Yeah.
And Code of Honor is offensive. So that then slipped to number one. But then somebody said, the worst episode of all is These Are the Voyages, the final episode of Enterprise.
No.
Oh, disagreement.
We
should have been in there to argue. Because people said it was disrespectful to Enterprise, that they made the last episode not about Enterprise, but they made it about Next Generation. Now, I'm going to say that you think it was fun and clever to have Riker and Troy in there?
Well, obviously, being Next Generation fans, we loved it. I totally see the point about it not being a fitting tribute to Enterprise. They probably should have ended it on Terra Prime. Around there, that would have been a better place to end it. But I love the episode. I love it.
Wow. Okay, so I wish you had been in there. You could have just, raged and ranted.
We await the hateful text messages and tweets.
Okay, well, tomorrow we're doing best of all 10. Oh, so
way more difficult.
You would put yesterday's Enterprise.
Well, that was
in the moment.
An off-cuff. I'd also go with, what's the one I always go for? The one with the proto-Vulcans. With the religion issue. What's it called? It's my favourite episode and I never remember.
From Next Generation?
Next Generation, yes. Where Picard won't let the proto-Vulcans be thrown back into an age of superstition. They start believing the Picard as God.
Right. I don't remember the title either, but sometimes titles are...
As soon as I walk out the door, I'll remember.
Yeah. I could look it up. But I know what you're saying. Yeah. What about Sitting on the Edge of Forever, though?
Fantastic episode. Yeah. And what exciting news today about the footage.
From the Roddenberry Vault. Yeah, there's going to be some additional takes and
so
a missing scene and whatnot. Yes. You saw it in there.
Yes, yeah, we went
to
see it.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Oh,
I was stuck
apparently
in here.
There is a scene from City on the Edge of Forever.
Oh, man.
I know. It sounds exciting.
Carol, if you were to pick the best of all franchises, would you still stick with what you said earlier for Next Gen?
I think I would, but again, it's in the moment. Once I get into a passionate conversation, I vary.
Well, good for you. All right, well, listen, thanks again for stopping by.
Thank you.
And we'll catch you online, and to everybody else listening in, we've got one more full day tomorrow and another recap with another guest. I don't know who it's going to be, but we'll figure it out sometime tomorrow. Okie doke. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.